Welcome to the UFO File Show with your host, Jerry Pippin.
Welcome to Edinburgh, one of America's best-kept secrets and the key to a region that is a unique and engaging place to live and do business. It has a rich, diverse culture. It's strategically located on the U.S.-Mexico border and has a young, growing population with ever-increasing levels of education and income. Edinburgh lies at the heart of this dynamic region with a market trade area of more than 7 million people within a 150-mile radius.
Well, as you heard by the intro, Edinburgh, Texas is the middle of a population growth area down in South Texas on the Mexican border. And we have Noe Torres with us, and later Bob Gross will join us, Dr. Bob Gross. And we're bringing them on because they're doing another conference down in that area. Actually, Noe has come up with being, I guess, the number one producer and a booster for UFO this coverage down in South Texas. He's really put it on the map single-handedly. They did the thing with the Border Zone Conference, and then later on Laredo, and now this is coming up in Edinburgh, Texas this Monday night, or this Friday night. Sorry about that. It's Monday night now. Now I got it straight. Right. Jerry, you're live on Mondays, and on Friday we have a special. Starts at 9 o'clock in the morning, goes all day into the evening. And we're going to talk to Noe Torres about it right now. Noe, how are you?
How are you doing, Jerry? I am so glad to be on your program. I'm glad to hear that you're feeling better as well. And we are so excited about this fantastic event that we've got going in South Texas. We have had just so much support from everyone here in this area, from the local Chamber of Commerce, to the public library, to the Economic Development Council. Everybody has just pitched in. They want to make this a fabulous event that will be repeated annually, hopefully, if everything goes as planned, and that will draw folks to this very interesting series of topics that we'll be talking about during your show for the next hour. So thanks again for having us on.
We'll get with Dr. Gross here in a minute as well, but before we do that, I want to mention the venue. You've got a new auditorium down there, state-of-the-art.
This is a beautiful auditorium, Jerry. It seats 1,000 people in total comfort. It has the theater-style padded seating with the headrests. It's got three huge multimedia screens. There's one in the center and then one to the left and to the right as you're looking at the stage part of it. It is the best, really, and I, as you know, I've spoken at a whole bunch of different venues all over the United States on the topic of UFOs, and this one here in my own hometown is actually, having just done a walkthrough of the facility a week or so ago, I can tell you that this is probably, without a doubt, the best venue for a UFO conference that I've been involved in up to now. So it's fantastic.
Well, we expect a huge audience worldwide, and I hope you get a lot of attendance down there, which I'm sure you will. I mean, there's 7 million people there within 160 miles.
Absolutely, and we have a strong following as well right across the border from here in Tamaulipas, Mexico. We have, UFOs are a very hot topic in northern Mexico. Our friend Jaime Maussan broadcasts daily reports on UFO activities throughout Mexico. And ever since Ruben Uriarte and I came out with our book, Mexico's Roswell, in 2007, we've been going all along, all around Texas and all along the Texas-Mexico border, and we've even appeared in Mexico as well, speaking about major historic UFO events that have taken place along the border and in northern Mexico. So, yes, this is a topic that you know, in some areas of the country, some folks would say that the topic has been kind of saturated, overdone. People aren't as interested in the topic anymore. But that's certainly not the case in Texas, and specifically in southern Texas and northern Mexico. People here are really starving to hear more information about the frequent UFO sightings that we have throughout this area and have had for many years.
Now, folks, give everybody a heads up here, and we'll bring on Dr. Gross here in a moment as well, Noy. I'm going to go ahead and give the phone number, and we're going to open up the phone lines. And anybody that feels like they want to ask a question, feel free to call in, and we'll work you into the show. The telephone number is 888, that's toll-free, 888-919-2355, 919-2355. Dr. Gross, how are you?
Good, Jerry. How are you? And good evening, Noy.
It's great to have you on.
Thank you.
Noy, I think that what we need to do is I gave you kind of an introduction. Why don't you introduce the audience to Dr. Bob Gross? Give a little thumbnail about him.
Yeah, I'll be happy to introduce my good friend. I call him Bob, Dr. Robert Gross. He has been a member of the Mutual UFO Network for quite a while, and before that, he was a member of several other groups that made scientific inquiry into the paranormal, a lot of which involved UFO research. So he's been involved in UFO research probably for close to 30 years, and he has also been a fantastic support to us as we've gone around setting up these UFO conferences. He was one of our speakers, and he also helped me organize the Laredo UFO conference along with Ismael Cuellar that we held this past November 2012. And he's working with me. He and I are planning several other UFO conferences coming up. So we just enjoy bouncing ideas back and forth to each other very frequently. And I am so happy, Jerry, that you were able to connect Bob on the show with us tonight, because he's got a fabulous background in the field.
Now, don't you have a souvenir booklet or something that people can get, order from Amazon or something about this conference?
Yes, absolutely. It's available on Amazon.com. If people will just do a search for 2013 Out of This World Conference or My Name, Noe Torres, I've got a full-color 8.5 by 11 souvenir program that we're going to be selling on the day of the conference, which is this Friday, March 15th. The program includes articles by our two big speakers, Travis Walton and Stanton Friedman, as well as Dr. Gross and myself, Ismael Cuellar and Stephen Androsko. All of us have contributed articles to, and you've also got full-size portrait-size photographs of all the speakers, so that folks who are in attendance will be able to get autographs, get the picture signed by the various presenters. So, yes, and full information about this, Jerry, and about the conference is available at edinburghufo.com, which is our conference website.
And let's tell our listeners a little bit before we get into the program itself and talk to Bob about a couple of things. Let's tell the people exactly where it is. And I noticed you have on the website there, Out of This World Conference, you have something about a Best Western Inn. Is that the official place?
Yes, we have been so lucky to have received the support of one of our hotels here in Edinburgh called the Best Western Plus Edinburgh Inn and Suites. And they are located right here in town. It's one of the closest facilities to the conference center. Located at the intersection of 281 and Canton Road. They have a very new facility there. They've got complimentary full breakfast. They've got swimming pool and all the normal accommodations that you would expect, free internet. And so they are our official conference hotel. They are the location where Travis Walton and Stanton Friedman will be staying, as well as Ismael Cuellar, our out-of-town speakers. So we're very fortunate to have a partnership with the Best Western Plus here in town in Edinburgh, Texas.
Is it too late for a vendor to get in touch with you?
Absolutely not. We're going to be making tables available in the lobby area leading into the auditorium, and we can definitely bring out more tables if they are needed. We have a number of key vendors, members of the Edinburgh Chamber of Commerce, and others who will be having tables where they'll be able to make contact with as many as 1,000 people who will be attending this UFO conference. And so definitely if they want, if they are interested, vendors are interested in being there, they can call our Edinburgh Chamber of Commerce telephone number, which is area code 956-383-4974. That's 383-4974. There's also a toll-free number, Jerry, 1-800-800-7214. That's 1-800-800-7214. The Edinburgh Chamber of Commerce is really the one that has really promoted this event. They have they and the economic, the Edinburgh Economic Development Council have funded, for instance, television spots and ads. And there's also a beautiful outdoor electronic billboard at one of our highest traffic intersections nearby here that's been running the Out of This World UFO Conference information on that big billboard. So we're very happy that the entire community of Edinburgh and all the key civic and community organizations have really pitched in to help with this. And we'd like to see it, you know, continue as an annual event.
At the top of the show, you probably didn't get a chance to hear it, but we played a little bit of audio from the Edinburgh Convention Visitors Bureau, you know, about Edinburgh, Texas. And I'd recommend people that are in driving distance or however they want to get there to spend a couple of extra days while they're down there.
Absolutely, Jerry.
I mean, you have a festival too, right?
Yeah, we're not that far from South Padre Island, which is a very, very well-known tourist destination in the area, especially during spring break time. We also have the University of Texas. Pan American is located in Edinburgh, one of the branches of the UT system for the state of Texas, one of the largest universities in this area of Texas. We've also got a minor league baseball team here called the Edinburgh Roadrunners. They're right here in Edinburgh, and they'll be starting up their summer schedule of games here very shortly, in a month or two. The quality of life in Edinburgh, McAllen area is extremely high, extremely good, and we get a lot of visitors, especially during the colder times of the year up north. We have a lot of folks that come down here and spend the winter with us, as well as other age groups as well of visitors coming to South Texas quite frequently. We are one of the largest destinations for viewing wildlife, birding. We've got some huge state parks and facilities here that accommodate bird watching and other outdoor activities. So this is a unique and beautiful part of the state of Texas, and I'm just so thrilled that I can call this home.
Bob Gross, let's bring you into the conversation.
Yes, sir.
What actually are you going to be lecturing on that day? You got an interesting subject.
Yes, and first of all, I'd like to say thank you to Noe Torres. I really have the utmost respect for Noe as a fellow professional as well as a person, and he has inspired me to ratchet up my research and my writing. So again, I'd like to thank Noe. And as far, Jerry, as my topic is concerned, it's going to be on science and the paranormal. It's an area that...
Yeah, let's get into that a little bit. That intrigues me. What do you mean by that?
Well, title. My background has been in researching the UFOs and other paranormal experiences for more than 25 years now. And I've been trying to tie a lot of things together. And especially now in the 21st century, I have been seeing a lot of evidence that the paranormal is actually the new normal. And that science and the paranormal, when you're looking at those two entities, I think of science, if we're looking at the iceberg theory, I see the science as the tip of the iceberg, and then the paranormal as the rest of the iceberg that's below the waterline, and the whole iceberg is being reality. So I'm trying to show to our audience that day in the first presentation, tying it all together to show that in some cases, since 71% of the population in the United States have had some type of paranormal experience, I want to convince them that it's quite normal to experience such things, and that UFO sightings are part of that.
It's an interesting statistic you put out there, Dr. Gross. I find that fascinating.
Thank you.
And you mentioned the silence, the zone of silence. That's down there somewhere, isn't it? If you have
yeah.
a little, yeah, play, well, what's that all about?
Okay, Jerry, one of the things that's really interesting is, as you know, there are a lot of mysterious zones throughout the world where strange things seem to happen quite frequently. You know, there are places where if you bring out a compass there, it'll start spinning wildly, and radio transmissions are often affected, cell phone transmissions. They say that instruments don't always work correctly on overflying planes. And one of those places is here in the northern part of Mexico, and it's called La Zona del Silencio, or the Zone of Silence. And it's just northwest of here, and it is called Mexico's Bermuda Triangle. So in keeping with what Dr. Gross is talking about, there's a lot of mysterious events that all of us are exposed to. And I love the research that Dr. Gross is doing on how different people react to paranormal events differently, and also how paranormal events can totally turn around a person's life. In other words, they'll never be the same again. They'll never look at the world and the universe and life the same again after having an encounter. So this is the type of research that Dr. Gross is involved in, and he has, as he mentioned, many years of doing research in this field. He also, Jerry, I know you're familiar with the Kecksburg UFO crash.
Yes.
He is also an expert. Having lived in the Pennsylvania area for a really long period of time, he's an expert on the Kecksburg UFO crash, and actually spoke about that at our recent Laredo UFO conference.
Yeah, Dr. Gross, you're going to bring that up again in this meeting?
Just very, very briefly.
Uh-huh.
I had worked with since 1985, I had worked with the Pennsylvania Association for the Study of the Unexplained with Stanley Gordon. So I had been involved with researching, even though it was 1985, with researching the Kecksburg incident with that organization. And so it does have a lot of connections to almost everything else that I work with.
One of my listeners wrote me today. It said that 7:10 a.m. down there is going to carry this conference too. Is that right?
Actually, what it is, Jerry, is there's going to be a one-hour interview with Stanton Friedman and myself. That's going to be broadcast on 7:10 a.m. here locally from midnight until 1 a.m. on Thursday night. So Thursday night at midnight, they can tune in for a one-hour preview sort of like what we're doing here with you today. You've got the world exclusive on it here with us today. But there will also be an interview Thursday night on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. It's just a one-hour shot from midnight to 1 and it's heard locally here in South Texas on KURV 710 AM. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, okay. Now, the more publicity, the better for these things. And you mentioned the world. It's World Contact Day or something like that.
It is exactly that. And I would like, if we have a few minutes, Jerry, if we don't have a break coming up, I'd like to give you a little bit of history about this fascinating subject of World Contact Day. Do we have some time right now, or do you want to cover that a little
later? No, go ahead. Let's talk about it.
All right.
This is pretty interesting. Not only is it World Contact Day for UFOs, and this is not anything new. It's been around for a while. In addition to that, I got a Facebook message here from a guy who says there's supposed to be a meteor show up on Friday night sometime.
Now, that's very interesting because at one of our last UFO conferences, the one in Presidio, the border zone, we had a meteor shower the night we had that one as well.
I remember that. And
I think the aliens may be throwing rocks at us, Jerry.
Yeah, that's what got my attention when this guy wrote me on Facebook and said that. tell us a little bit about the history of the World Contact Day.
Okay, well, let's go back in time to 1952. This was the height of major UFO activity throughout the United States. It had been going on since the late 1940s, and by the early to middle 1950s, the number of sightings was just astronomical all over the United States and throughout the world, really. Well, in the late 1940s, there was a gentleman named Alfred Bender from Connecticut who started up a group called the International Flying Saucer Bureau. It was one of the first civilian UFO research organizations, Jerry, and he started it up in 1952. And one of the things, this gentleman was very interesting. If you go back and do research on his life, he was a fascinating person. And he felt that he had some kind of psychic connection to UFOs and UFO occupants. He decided that March 15th, 1953, would be the very first World Contact Day. And that was a day when all of the people interested in flying saucers were to tune their minds and attempt to project psychic energies out into space and attempt to communicate with the UFO occupants. So this was established and set up for March 15th, 1953, the very first one at 6 p.m., and there was actually a message, which you can read on our website, by the way. It's the text that people were supposed to memorize and then were supposed to recite at that exact time throughout the world. So anyway, when Mr. Bender, the leader of this group and the one who came up with the idea for World Contact Day, when he closed his eyes and began to meditate, he had an out-of-body experience. He later said, "I felt a terrible cold chill hit my whole body. My head began to ache. I partly lost consciousness, and the room around me began to fade. And the next thing you know, he felt as though he was floating up above his body, looking down at it on the bed. And he heard a strange voice saying to him, although he describes it as being a voice, it wasn't really audible. It was just in his mind. And it said to him, quote, 'We have been watching you and your activities. Please be advised to discontinue delving into the mysteries of the universe. Otherwise, we will make an appearance if you disobey.'" So he thought this was a very strange message, and it wasn't really what he wanted to hear. So he verbalized the following question: "Why aren't you friendly to us? We do not mean you any harm." And then this strange disembodied voice responded to him: We have a special assignment on your planet and must not be disturbed by your people. We are among you and know your every move. So please be advised, we are there on your earth.
So and, he made this contact at 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock on March 15th.
Are you going to try something?
Well, actually,
Travis Walton's movie showing at that time, I think.
Well, I think we're going to be done a little bit before that, and then it'll be time to eat. So maybe while we're having our meal, we can all focus our thought energies into outer space and try to get the attention of somebody.
Okay, when we do the show,
yeah,
live on Friday night, I'm going to have to talk to you before we start with Travis and find out if anything happened.
Well, Jerry, what I'd like to do is I'm going to email you the text that the people in 1953 were supposed to memorize. It's about two paragraphs long, and it starts off with the words, "Calling occupants of interplanetary craft. We are your friends and would like to make contact with you." Now, some of your listeners may think those words are awfully familiar because they were used in a song in the 1970s done by a Canadian rock group called Klaatu, and the title of the song was "Calling Occupants of Interplanetary Craft." It was later done by the Carpenters, of all people.
Yeah, I remember that song, but the Carpenters, I remember.
Well, the original group was Klaatu. It was a Canadian rock group whose name comes, incidentally, from the 1950 science fiction classic film, The Day the Earth Stood Still. Klaatu was the name of the robot, the huge metal robot that the visitor from another planet brought to Earth. So it's a fascinating story, and there's a lot of all kinds of ties and parallels to it. But I'm going to send you the text because maybe you can recite those words right at 6 o'clock and send them and beam them into outer space.
Yeah, we'll try. We'll try. And by the way, when we talk about things happening on the 15th, if that meteor shows up, I'll follow up on that as well. I don't know if this guy from Facebook knows what he's talking about or not, but he might.
And by the way, Jerry, we're going to have a viewing using telescopes. Our local astronomy club from our local university is going to be part of this event as well. Not on Friday, but we have a continuation of events on Saturday.
No, that's what I was trying to get. Yeah. That's what I was trying to get to, Noy. It's a festival that goes on besides Friday, right? All weekend.
We call it a conference and festival. The conference part of it is all day on Friday. That's when we're going to have the heavyweight speakers. We've got Stanton Friedman, Travis Walton, Dr. Gross. We've got lectures all day long. But the second part of it, the festival, takes place on Saturday from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. And it's at another location, which is nearby here. It's at the Edinburgh City Auditorium. The Friday events are all going to be at the Edinburgh Conference Center at Renaissance, which is this brand new high-tech facility. But then on Saturday night for the festival part of it, which is more or less family-friendly social activities, that's going to take place over at behind City Hall at the Edinburgh Conference Center.
Now let's talk a little bit about the conference itself. Robert Gross, can they pay just to see one person, or do you get one ticket fits all, or how does this work?
It would be one ticket fits all. I believe there's a general admission price per ticket at $15, but then there are also front row reserve tickets that are a little more expensive.
What time do you speak?
I am the lead-off speaker at 9 o'clock Friday morning.
Friday morning at 9 o'clock, and you're going to talk about silence and the paranormal.
And silence.
You got evidence that 71% of the people have had a paranormal experience, so it's really not paranormal.
That's true.
Jerry, if I could pop in and just give a few more details. It's we've got a very reasonable admission fee because basically the $15 charge covers you for both days. When people show up on Friday, they're going to pay their $15 if they haven't prepaid, and they're going to get a wristband, a colored wristband. And that wristband entitles them to be with us the entire day, come and go as they please. If they're not able to be there for all the lectures, they can come and attend the lectures that they do want to see and then just leave and come back as many times as they wish. And then that same wristband, they're going to need to keep it on overnight because if they like to attend the Saturday evening festivities at the back over at the auditorium, they're going to need to show that wristband as well. If anyone wants to come just to the Saturday events, there will be a $2 charge for that. But we've tried to keep the cost as low as possible. It's really just a means of retrieving some of the expenses that the Chamber of Commerce has put forward for this. So it really is just cost retrieval. We want to encourage everyone to come out and make this a super special event for South Texas and for the whole region. Nobody has ever done a UFO conference in this area before, Jerry, as remarkable as that may sound. The closest one, of course, has been Laredo, which is about 200 miles from here. But nobody here in what we refer to as the Rio Grande Valley of South Texas has ever had an event like this.
I got an email correction here, Noe. I think the guy means it in the spirit of truth. He says KLAATU Klaatu was the name of the spaceman, and Court was the name of the robot.
I stand corrected. Klaatu was the name of the spaceman, and the robot was Gort. G-O-R-T.
So I figured he was right. He said he saw this movie 100 times.
Yeah, no, that is correct. I should have messed up on that because I knew that, but it just kind of came out that way. And then for the sake of conversation, I just let it flow. But he's absolutely right. And Klaatu Barada Nictu was what the spaceman, those were the words that that were said to the robot in order to cancel the order to destroy the Earth. So those were the key words in that whole story, Klaatu Barada Nictu. So very much, you know, you'll also hear the reference to interstellar policemen in the song Calling Occupants of Interplanetary Craft, which is a reference to Gort, the race of robot beings that were sent to annihilate the Earth if we continued tinkering with nuclear weapons, which, by the way, we didn't listen to the warning.
No, we didn't, did we? And you and I have talked about this off the air quite a lot. And I think we're both convinced that the nuclear element is an important part of the UFO story, especially when you're dealing with New Mexico.
Yeah, one of the things I really truly love when I list, when Stanton Friedman speaks is he basically ties everything together about how the waves of UFO sightings began at around the time that we started tinkering with nuclear weapons. You know, suddenly that was our calling card to our neighbors in the galaxy that we were stupid enough to destroy our own world 20 or 30 times over. You know, so suddenly we called attention to ourselves by setting off these huge atomic explosions on our planet. And so, you know, it was rather stupid not to expect some repercussions from that.
Dr. Gross, we don't mean to leave you out here. Jump in at any time. He mentioned Stanton Friedman. He's on twice, right?
Yes, sir.
What is his topic?
The topics that he's going to be involved in that day will be his first conference, his first speeches at 10:30 in the morning till 12:00. and that'll be Flying Saucers and Science. And then he will speak later on in the afternoon at 3 o'clock, and that's going to be a new view of the cosmos.
Now, we will present that entire presentation.
Great.
Unedited, right there live. And if you've heard Stanton talk about these subjects and you've heard him before, hey, tune in again because he'll bring up some new information. He always does. Have you noticed?
Yes.
Hey Jerry, I just wanted to mention that A New View of the Cosmos is actually a new presentation that Stanton worked up for the UFO Congress that was held recently in Arizona. So we're all looking forward to hear. That's a whole new topic and a whole new presentation that he's going to bring us.
That'll be in the afternoon at 3?
That'll be at 3 o'clock. And I'd also like to say how much we appreciate you partnering with Inception Radio to bring the entire conference live to the entire world, because we've got so much interest in the fact that it's World Contact Day. We've had communications from all over Europe, from all over the world, really, wanting to have an event going on March 15th associated with World Contact Day that people can really sink their teeth into and be a part of. And what better way to do that, Jerry, than to have them be able to tune in and listen to a live streaming of a UFO conference featuring the two top UFO speakers in the world, Stanton Friedman and Travis Walton, actually taking place while it's taking place live on World Contact Day. People all over the world will be tuning in to do that. And you and Inception Radio have made that possible. I cannot thank you enough.
And we want to urge everybody to understand that if you miss some of this, you can hear repeats quite often. In fact, we just ran a repeat over the weekend twice, Saturday and Sunday, all night into most of Sunday day of the Border Zone Conference and also the Laredo Conference. So this conference will show up more than once. It'll also be on demand. It'll be on iTunes. It's also be on jerrypippin.com and a couple other websites as well.
So, I don't think I ever told you, Jerry, but it was so neat when we did the Border Zone UFO Festival in Presidio. It was so neat to go home at the end of the conference, went to the hotel room, and Stanton Friedman and I and the other speakers were sitting around relaxing, and we were listening to your rebroadcast of our UFO festival, and it was just the coolest thing to be able to hear. You know, we were listening to Stanton Friedman's excellent presentation. To be able to hear that again and just pick up on every little nuance, because we were all running around and being so busy at the conference that a lot of times we didn't have time to sit down and listen to whoever was up there speaking. But to be able to hear it again and hear the content and really focus on what was being said, that is just priceless. It really is. So we appreciate you guys very much.
And you can find those conferences on demand at InceptionRadioNetwork.com as well as JerryPippin.com anytime. Now, let's talk about Travis Walton. He's got the whole show from late in the afternoon right on through. I think we're going to carry him all the way up to about 10 o'clock because he's going to have some question and answer questions as well.
Right. The fantastic thing about Travis, his last appearance here anywhere close by was at the Laredo 2011 UFO conference, which I helped to put together. And he had a standing room only crowd, Jerry. He filled the auditorium, and people were just enthralled to hear his story. You know, they say that truth is stranger than fiction. Many people out there have seen the movie Fire in the Sky, which was a major Paramount release in the late 1990s. But The truth in the case of Travis's story is actually stranger and more compelling in many ways than the Hollywood version that was all, you know, cleaned up, sterilized, and put out there for people to enjoy as entertainment, and was, to a large extent, had some fictional elements thrown in there. But yeah, Travis's story of being taken aboard a UFO and held for 5 days while everybody on Earth was looking. There was a law enforcement search for him throughout the forest there in northern Arizona. His six companions saw him, saw the UFO hovering above him, and saw a blue beam of light come down, strike him, and send him 60 feet in the air. They all got in their pickup truck and took off, leaving him lying there in the forest. So it's an amazing story. It really is stranger than fiction. And the other interesting thing is that I think what people enjoyed even as much as his lecture was the question and answer session that Travis has afterward. We had about probably over 30 minutes of questions and answers, people wanting to know more about certain specific points. And Travis is such a pro. He has done public appearances for so many years that he just knows exactly what the people are wanting to know. And he's just fantastic all the way around. And he also interacts with people on a one-to-one basis. He does book signings afterward, and he just a lot of people will come up to him and tell him their own UFO encounter stories, and he listens and offers his advice. So it's just fantastic to have someone of the caliber of Travis Walton and also Stanton Friedman here in South Texas for the first time ever appearing at our conference.
Got a note from Ruben Uarte. You've heard of him.
That name does sound familiar, yes.
He's listening right now.
Hello, my friend Ruben. And I know
he feels badly because he can't be there.
He's got all the championship teams there now in the San Francisco Bay Area, so he's been gloating a bit. He's got the World Series champion. He's got the NFL, one of the NFL champions, so He's been gloating a lot lately, Jerry, but that's okay. I forgive him. He's a great guy, and I look forward to seeing him again very soon. Ruben was originally scheduled to be a presenter at our conference this coming Friday, but unfortunately his work responsibilities did not allow him to have this time off, and we were very, very sad. The library director, our local library director, kept asking me, you know, if Ruben was coming, because she really wanted him to come down here. But I explained to her that he wasn't able to make it this year. However, there's always next year.
Yeah, Ruben's going to retire. Did he tell you that?
Yes,
So he'll be able to travel more starting next year.
Absolutely, that would be
wonderful.
And
he says one thing they got to try while they're down there is that Southwest Texas barbecue.
Oh man, you can really fill up on that stuff. Every time that Ruben comes into Texas, we try to take him to a good barbecue place so he can have some ribs, some brisket, some fajitas. Just run the gamut of good meat. You know, we gotta pack in as much of this meat as we can before the cattle mutilations take it all there, Jerry.
That's right. You gotta look at it that way. Maybe the ETs know about barbecue. Maybe they mutilate them and barbecue them. Who knows?
I think they like organ meat, though.
Oh.
Dr. Gross?
Oh, yes.
We're kidding around here, but...
Thank God.
Let's get into some of the other things that are going to be happening that day. And we talked about Stanton, and we also talked about Travis Walton, but Noe Torres has got, talking about Ruben, Noe Torres is going to do a presentation on that an amazing story that happened up in Northern California with the robot type character that showed up, but chased the guy into the tree, kept him there all night. People need to hear that story, Noy. They haven't heard it.
Yeah, and Jerry,
you did a book about that.
Yeah, and I've got some little updates to the story. We've got some additional information to share. And, of course, we've got videos from the main eyewitness, Mr. Donald Shrum. That was a story, by the way, which I give full credit to my partner, Ruben Uriarte, who's listening tonight. He's the one that brought together all the information that we used for writing that book. And he's the one that put us into contact with Donald Shrum and his wife, Mrs. Shrum, unfortunately, who recently passed away. We are very, very saddened to that. And in my slide presentation that I give on the Aliens in the Forest case, I always conclude with by saying that I'm doing this in memory of Mrs. Shrum, who, without whom our book would not have been possible. She wrote this beautiful foreword to the book. So, yes, I'm looking forward to sharing the story of Aliens in the Forest, the Cisco Grove UFO encounter, and I'll be doing that presentation Friday afternoon right before Stanton speaks again. I believe it's at around 2 o'clock.
That's what I have on my schedule here.
Yeah.
Ishmael Quaylar is going to be there as well. And we had a great demonstration by him on the Martha lights. What's he going to talk about this time?
Oh, man. He's got some incredible new UFO footage that's been taken by him and his fellow members of the Laredo Paranormal Research Society. They have found, they have taken videos of some very strange objects zigging and zagging around the night skies in Laredo. He told me that when I see these new videos, I'm going to be tremendously amazed. And every time he said that to me in the past, it's been absolutely true. Now, since you guys are going to be listening in on the radio, I'm going to emphasize to Ishmael that he needs to not only show the videos, but also explain what people are seeing for your radio audience, okay? So I'm going to try to cover my bases on that for your listeners.
If he doesn't get it explained, maybe I can get him on in between the break and talk a little bit about it. Who knows?
That sounds good. Yeah, but I'm really thrilled to hear Ishmael's presentation, as well as my good friend Stephen Androsko, who will be.
Yeah, I want to bring up Stephen. Talk a little bit about Stephen. A lot of people don't know about him.
Well, Stephen Androsko is a fantastic public speaker, and he's an award-winning storyteller for years here in South Texas. He does a lot of public appearances. And he happens to have a high level of interest in the subject of extraterrestrial life and UFOs, coming, of course, from the same generation as all of us. And Stephen and I are actually currently working on a book together. We are revisiting one of the most famous UFO cases in history that has had very little ever written about it, for whatever reason, we don't know. Most people, most UFO, major UFO researchers listed in like their top five of all UFO events that have ever taken place, and yet there's very little said or written about this particular case. So, Steve and I have worked together and, well, we've known each other for over 20 years and we've worked together, as librarians in the same area for like the past 10 years. So, in addition to that, we share this common interest in UFOs and the search for extraterrestrial life. So we're kind of putting it all together. What Steve has done, what he's going to be talking about is he's collected, he and I have collected files of actual UFO encounters that have occurred here in South Texas. And he calls his lecture the South Texas X-Files. And it really is going to be an impressive demonstration to the local residents here, because they will hear stories that have happened to their neighbors, to people whose names they recognize. They will hear about places that they know, and I think his presentation will have a very dramatic impact on the local folks here in this area. It's never been done before for anyone to collect information about specific cases here in this area. So, and one of the cases, I should say, Jerry, involves a young woman from Edinburgh who had an amazing encounter with a 60-foot diameter flying disc last March 2012, here in just north of Edinburgh, late at night. And when she came up on that craft, which was hovering a few feet above the pavement of the street, there were two state troopers already there. They were using their vehicles to block the road to keep anybody from going forward. And then this object was just ahead there, hovering above the street. And the person who first told me that story was Steve Androsko, our speaker, because he's the one that heard it from the eyewitness herself, Natalie, last year. And so Steve knows all the ins and outs of that amazing encounter, one of the most impressive recent UFO encounters that I've heard of from a highly reliable source here in South Texas.
And the cops were there, huh?
The cops were there, and the lady walked up while looking at this immense glowing disc blocking the roadway up ahead. And she turned to one of the cops and said, "Are you seeing what I'm seeing?" And the state trooper didn't completely turn his head around. He kind of kept still looking at this glowing disc. But he told her kind of off to the side. He said, "Yes, ma'am, we're seeing it too."
Now, so what time of the day did this happen?
That happened at approximately 3 a.m.
So, there weren't a lot of people out, but there were enough people to see it. Now, I wonder how long it stayed there.
Well, the whole episode, as far as Natalie, the principal eyewitness in this case, was involved, it took her about 15 to 20 minutes to get from her home in the middle of Edinburgh out to where this happened, north of Edinburgh. It happened near a deactivated Air Force base called Moore Airfield. It's a former U.S. Air Force base that supposedly has been totally shut down and is totally out of business, supposedly, for many years. And yet people keep giving us reports of strange flying objects all around that area. So something's got to be going on out there.
No way. Dr. Gross, have either one of you guys tried to go out to that deactivated Air Force base and see what you could see?
I haven't. Yes.
I did go out there, Jerry. I did go out there, and I told the people at the entrance that I was – it's heavily guarded, by the way, guards with the weapons. And
that makes you wonder if it's deactivated, why they're guarding it.
And I told them that I would like to – that I was working on a book about events taking place in the valley, and could I go into the base and take some photographs? And they said, absolutely not. If you want to get into this facility, they told me that I needed to contact my congressman. Those were the exact words. Contact your congressman.
Huh.
Wow.
Well, next step, I guess, ask your congressman. And you'll say, absolutely not. You've got to talk to the military.
So anyway, there's been a lot of UFO sightings all around this base, which is amazing, given the fact that it's supposedly totally deactivated.
Yeah, we've talked about that area a lot, and there's enough space out there that they could do a lot of top secret things without anybody knowing.
Oh, here's the other thing, Jerry. Supposedly, all the facilities there are no longer being used, so therefore they should be kind of dilapidated or starting to show wear. Well, if you look at a satellite photograph, you see that they've been remodeled, repainted. They seem in really good repair, and there may even be one or two new hangars out there. So what the heck's going on?
Yeah, it makes you wonder. Well, keep after it, Noy. If anybody can dig it out, you will.
We're certainly going to give it a try. Bob Gross and I will probably be going over there, and hopefully we won't be doing our next interview with you from some military jail somewhere.
That's hard to say. If it's okay, I'll just call you rather than go down to visit you.
They told me that it was okay for us to take pictures of the base from outside the 10-foot-tall barbed wire electrical fence, by the way. So as long as we stayed outside of that fence, we'd be okay.
That cries for more investigation. Maybe somebody listening out there knows a little bit more about it. Or call us and tell us about it. You never know.
You never know. But,
and they can contact you. Give your website, Noy.
Yes, this is the central point of reference for everything that we've talked about in our books and conferences. It's roswellbooks.com. It's very simple. It's like Roswell, the town in New Mexico, roswellbooks.com.
Okay, let's get back to the conference. It's this Friday. We urge people down in South Texas or any place can get there to go see this. It's only $15. That's pretty cheap entertainment all day. It goes into the evening, starts at 9 o'clock in the morning, and probably lasts to 9:30 or 10 that night.
Yes.
Yeah. And the other cool thing, Jerry, this is spring break for most of the school districts in these parts. So a lot of folks are off. If they work in the school district or if they're a student, they're off this week. So what better place to be than listening to presentations about aliens and outer space and UFOs? I mean, that's much better than getting sand in your corona down at South Padre Island, you got to admit.
Good way of putting it. Well, when we talk about some of the things that are happening down there, let's recap real quickly exactly what we're talking about for the conference, where it is, how much it cost, et cetera, okay. Et cetera.
Yeah, it's an all-day event on Friday, March 15th, which is World Contact Day, and it takes place from 9 a.m. to 9:30 p.m., at the Edinburgh Conference Center. It's a high-tech facility located on North McCall Road, kind of just right at the border between McAllen and Edinburgh, the two towns. And complete information and a map of how to get there and all that is on our website, edinburghufo.com. And the festivities continue on Saturday from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m., over behind Edinburgh City Hall at the Edinburgh City Auditorium. That's on University Drive, right next to University of Texas Pan American. And as I mentioned, behind the City Hall building, right next to the courthouse in Edinburgh. And we're going to have a town hall meeting where people can come forward and tell us their own UFO stories from 5 to 7. From 7 to 10, there will be food, fun, outdoor music, and an alien costume contest. So that's going to be a lot of fun on Saturday night. And it's totally free for all the folks who attend the conference on Friday. They just use the same wristband to get into all the Saturday night events.
Now, we're going to close here, but I want to remind everybody that we're broadcasting it live Friday on the radio here at Inception Radio Network. In addition to that, it'll be replayed over the weekend a couple of times. And people in the area and people who can get down there to South Texas, I tell you what I always found interesting is to go to one of these things, see it in person, then come back and listen to it on the radio. You pick up all kinds of interesting things, you know, that you didn't catch while you were there in person. So, We urge people to go to the event if possible. If not, certainly tune it in here at Inception Radio. And it's linked from the Jerry Pippin website as well. You can't miss us. We'll be there from 9 o'clock on Friday until 9:30 or 10 that night with a couple of breaks, a lunch break, and a break during the movie. and we pick it back up with Travis, I guess, about 7 or 7:30. Any closing thoughts, guys?
Nothing more, Jerry, than to say we'd really like this to succeed on a large scale so that we can continue to have this, not only this event here, but other similar events throughout the area. So we really are asking for everyone to support it. Tweet and Facebook, everybody you know, and plan to listen to the conference. If you can't actually attend, listen to it on the DerryPippin.com website, Inception Radio.
Yes, and there's a lot of interest in this area, so they should all do that.
Thanks a lot, both of you, for being on. Good luck with the conference, and we'll certainly be there anchoring the broadcast. I wish we were down there in person.
Well, thank you very much, Jerry. We have always appreciated working with you and your strong support. And all the best of luck to you and good health.
Well, I certainly need that. That's for sure. Now, one closing thought here. I got to ask you about Roswell. Are you planning on doing something at Roswell again this year?
Jerry, we had a full-scale conference planned for Roswell, New Mexico. And we had requested reimbursement for our travel expenses, and the city would not provide that. And so, therefore, unfortunately, much to our dismay, it's not looking like we will be having an event in Roswell this summer. The city, however, and the Roswell UFO Museum will be carrying forward with their regular UFO festival happenings. But our part of it, our contribution of it, unfortunately, they chose not to fund.
Hey, you know my feelings about all that Roswell situation. It's a shame. And the UFO Museum, it's the heart of the problem.
It's a wonderful place to visit, and I love all the people there. And even though I won't be able to go there this summer, I have a lot of friends there, and I will truly miss not being with them. And perhaps in the future, perhaps in 2013 and 2014, the circumstances will be different.
I'm Jerry Pippin, and this is our UFO show.